Welcome to the podcast. My name is Joe Fortunato, and I'm a changed man. The last time you heard me, I was a boy. A boy. Now I am a father.
Just a boy. Now a man.
I'm just a boy. Welcome. This is Panther in the Blue Shirts. I apologize for not doing a show last week, but I was goddamn tired, and I'm goddamn tired now. But Mike forces me to do things against my will, so here we are.
That's right.
Doing the podcast. Mike, Beth, Shayna, and Tom did a podcast last week, right?
Oh,
I didn't do it.
Well, I did not listen to it at all. I was about to say, although I was reading Hockey Stat Miner, he listened to it today, and I think I have to go back and listen to it just to hear Mike's discussion about the War of Machines.
I challenged Tom to swallow a marble for $500, and he wouldn't do it.
Oh,
really?
I think I would do that.
I'd do it for $500.
That's how I feel. He's like, but it's glass. I'm like, that's good.
It'll just pass right through, won't it? I mean,
just
not one of those big ones, but your average-sized marble.
Yeah,
sure, $500.
Who chews a marble? No one would. You can't chew the marble. That's the whole reason. It's a marble.
And I'm talking normal, you know, not like the big marbles, you know? Like normal, standard, smaller than a dime.
Wait, what's the name for the big marbles again? They have a name, don't they?
I forget.
Other
I know
than
that
big,
the big,
big
thing
marbles?
In Pogs is the slammer.
Yeah, the slammer.
Like
the bubblegum slammer that had like the two fingerprints in the back.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it did have fingerprints.
You're damn right it did.
I remember that. I had a metal slammer that was practically an Indy
Aggies.
Star.
Aggies are the big marbles.
Yeah. Wow.
Is this short for something?
Aggies?
For agate, a type of stone that they used to be made of.
Is Aggies smaller, shorter than agate?
No, it's actually longer.
Yeah, so it's not short for anything. Anyway,
like
I have
Jimmy's
some news.
Not shorter than James.
We had two people subscribe to harrys.com/blueshirtbanter. So we're eight people away from me eating shaving cream out of the thing.
Woo!
So harrys.com/blueshirtbanter. You will get a free, or you won't actually, you can sign up to get a discount on the starter kit, which has, yes, I'm very tired, I know. It has an amazing razor, five blades, cut right through that hair on your face, the greatest smelling shaving cream on the planet, five blades, and then a little blade on the top for those hard-to-reach areas, like your unibrow or right under your nose. Mike does a lot of...
Go to a professional for that.
Do a professional shave your unibrow? Harry's also has head razors, but... that's not, you have to ask for that because the razors that they are most known for are their face razors. But if you'd like to shave your head like Michael does, they have the proper equipment for you. So harrys.com/blueshirtbanter.
I shave my head once a week.
Do you really shave it that often?
Is there a special day?
Normally Thursday night or Friday night. So that I look nice for the weekend when I stay in the house and don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know. So there's that. Do that. Go to harrys.com/blueshirtbanter and make me eat something that could kill me, because that's what Mike wants. He wants me to die. You know who else wants me to
I'll
die?
I'll raise your daughter. Don't worry.
Damn Rangers.
The damn Rangers want us all to die.
They do. They are not playing games anymore. I don't know. There's some weird stuff going on. I think I've made this argument before, but the New York Rangers that lost all those games in October, they're not all that different from the New York Rangers that won all those games in November. And I think we're beginning to see the other end of that tailspin here. So, Mike, what are your
thoughts on
that?
Do you remember the show Tailspin, Joe? The animated show with Baloo?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
With Boo? I'm sure some of our listeners will remember Tailspin. What the hell did you say about the Rangers?
Well, what are your thoughts on what's going on right now?
They're trying to
Dallas,
kill us.
I mean, here's the other thing I'll say. Dallas, the Dallas game was easily the worst game of the season.
Oh, God. That game was...
Ryan McDonagh had, like, the worst individual possession game I think the Rangers had ever. And
I think anyone had ever, frankly.
I think it was, like,
in
it
the
was
history
the
of ever.
Worst. There was a lot of... It was really a bad game. And the Rangers follow that up with the loss to Ottawa, who had won one in their past 13 games. So,
Rangers
Mike, just,
are so
just
helpful.
Talk about things like that.
Well, I remember distinctly Ron Duguay trying to raise money for the Garden of Dreams and saying after the second intermission, the Rangers are going to win and we're going to raise a lot of money. I hope one of those things came true that was still possible because the Rangers did not win. And Ottawa has kind of been crapping the bed lately. So that was very discouraging. But just looking at December, the sample size, you know, we're six games into December now. And before the podcast, I looked up some numbers so I sounded smarter than I am. The Rangers have an average shots against 60 of 36.16 in December. An average shots for, meaning the shots they put on net per 60, of 29.09. They've had 936 save percentage collectively because Pavlik, the fact that Pavlik didn't win that Stars game, that poor bastard.
That's AV's fault.
That's all AV's fault. Beth, why is it AV's fault?
Because of the shootout.
That's right.
What the hell was he doing?
I don't subscribe to that. The shootout is a crapshoot. Who cares?
I realize that, but you could shoot better crap, Joe.
I guess.
Babe,
I don't mind Shattenkirk being utilized. Yeah, I don't mind Shattenkirk being utilized. I think I'll just say that.
Just sit down and go away and get out of my face. And don't
Me?
Be in the shootout. No, Desjardins.
Well, yeah, Desjardins. But again, Desjardins is like that shifty French-Canadian type, like, you don't know what's coming at you in the on the breakaway type player. So, I don't know. There you go. That's my take on that. There were better choices. But
there are a lot
theoretically
of better
always better choices.
I don't know. I don't think anybody saw those two coming up at that point. I mean, that game was winnable, and Pavlik works so hard. And Mike, do you know what his save percentage is now, just on his own? Because
well,
it was
I
below
know in,
900.
Yeah, in the two games he started in, the two games he started in December, he has a 955 save percentage, which is just bonkers good.
But he had
Mike,
like
you don't like him as a
backup
option, correct?
No, I don't like him, but credit where it's due. He played like a golden glittering god in that game, all for nothing. His save percentage on the season, Beth, is now 914. So he pulled that.
Alone, probably.
Yeah, he pulled that right out of the crapper. But, you know, in my head, I just tell myself the Rangers could have spent less money on a backup that is better than Pavlik. And have a little bit more cap room to kind of be a figurative hammer that hits Gorton over the head to get another center. But
thank you for pointing out the figurative. Yes.
Beth is in some kind of mood today.
Beth is drunk. So let's just roll with that and see what happens.
She's drunk on the podcast rather than drinking.
It was my last
day
of teaching.
she had to celebrate.
I'm celebrating.
Yeah, I don't.
I've had a lot of sugar today.
Is that a ghost?
No, it was a quiet celebration because you were talking. Sorry, go ahead.
Don't ever do that again. That was almost as bad as the dust ruffle. I think that when you look at what the Rangers are right now. Would you really bet your life that this team is capable of winning a playoff series? I think the resounding answer is probably no, because we don't even know if the Rangers are going to make the playoffs this year.
I will say
go ahead, Michael.
It, the, the caveat there is this is a team without Mika Zibanejad, and this is a team with some sort of imposter who's taken the place and the name and likely the social security card of Ryan McDonough.
You son of a bitch, I was about to bring this up.
The ongoing speculation is, oh, he's hurt. He's hurt. But why in God's name, if he's hurt, is he still on the first pair? Why are you playing him in games where you can just rest him and say, you know what, we're gonna crap the bed here in December, but he'll be healthy when we need him to be back on his game. It's just, if he's hurt, then the organization is not doing the right thing. Because some nagging injury, let him heal, or say, guess what, Ryan, you only have to play 15 minutes a night.
Yeah.
You're not going to get torn to shreds by the Dallas Stars.
You're telling this to a coach and an organization that played Dan Girardi with one kneecap. So I don't think
That's true.
I'm not totally sure the Rangers are, I don't know what the right word is, because I'm going to say capable.
Is any
even
hockey
I don't
team
think,
actually, I just, think most of the NHL make bad choices.
They don't know what to do. Because they don't, like, oh, my number one defenseman's hurt, but he could play through it. It's such an NHL thing to be, oh, I'm going to be the tough guy and play through the pain. And sometimes that's not what's best for both the team and yourself. But again, I was going to make a caveat, Michael, which you stole my thunder, you son of a bitch, that the Rangers are struggling without their number one center. Most teams would struggle without their number one center. Although I will say that the Rangers' center depth is somewhat flimsy anyway. But the bigger problem right now is, and I talked about this a little bit in the notes that I wrote this morning, if you think of the Rangers like a car, McDonough is the ignition. He is the guy that makes everything go. And the Rangers have a relatively formidable top four when they actually want to play their best defensemen in Smith, Shea, Shattenkirk, and McDonough. But that goes from formidable to vulnerable when McDonough is not McDonough. Because the third pair has been really, it's Stahl has sort of manifested himself back into the bad. Holden's been okay, but he's playing top pair minutes, which is not ideal. So where you go from here without McDonough, it changes the entire dynamic, because in the past, Vigneault has been able to use bad defensemen like Girardi or Kampfer or Stahl as sort of grenades and throw them on lines away from what's working. But right now, it doesn't seem like much is working. Shattenkirk and McDonough have not played together all that much. Shea and Smith get together periodically. Holden gets thrown into the top four. Stahl has to go with someone. So there's a lot there that is already sort of, ripe for the failure, if you will. But to not have McDonough playing well makes it way worse, because you have to lean on him. Shattenkirk, I don't think, is half as bad defensively as everybody claims he is, but he's not an
Barry
amazing
Trotz
defensive.
Barry Trotz doesn't think he's very good.
Who?
Remember the Barry Trotz quote?
Yeah, screw you, Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz could Barry, take him or leave him.
We thought we were trading for a number one or two defenseman.
when did he become a Pirate?
I don't know.
Was he hunting for Moby Dick before he came onto the ice?
Ask me a question.
Beth, why do you think McDonough's been bad?
Oh, well, that's kind of boring.
Well, that's your question. I don't know what to tell you. That's what we were talking about when you demanded a question.
No, you're right. You're right. That is what we're talking about. I don't know. I mean, you hate to hope a guy is hurt. Or else, you know, what is it? Is his spirit broken? Has he given up? You know, we can't help him with his existential crises. We can hope that, which frankly I would be having too if I was the captain of the Rangers. so, you know, the message there is that he's hurt, but he's hurt so badly that it's not an Erik Karlsson ankle. It's something that's infecting his entire game and his hockey sense and the way he leads the team. So what to hope for here, except that he gets it back together and he's deeply damaged the process because, yeah, I mean, you're completely right. I don't know if I would say ignition analogy wise, but the team does not work without him. He has to be there doing right things or the whole thing falls apart. So without captain, top defenseman and first line center, I mean, this isn't a hockey team.
Michael.
Beth, what's the best thing that's happened with the Rangers in December? All the bad things, but what's been good? Who has been good? What has been good?
Okay, we never talk about this. We always assume it's like he's going to be traded. Michael freaking Grabner. I mean, goal machine. In the, you know, he's goals. And I mean, his shooting percentage is already so high, but he takes so many shots. It is just the thing he does is to take the puck and put it on the net. And yeah, it doesn't always work, but so often it does. So I feel like Rangers fans don't allow themselves to appreciate that for some reason, because you're either like, well, he's going to slow down, or if his stock is this high, we should trade him. It's like something you're not allowed to enjoy. But can we just enjoy the fact that the guy makes goals? I'm going to enjoy that a little bit because they're usually fun to watch too, because he's scrappy as hell. Other than that, it's Michael Grabner. It's at least two, but I'm thinking probably more than that, freaking beautiful long passes from Zouk lately. I think both of those were this month. You guys know the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
Because one of them was last night, and then he did one, I think, one or two games ago as well. That was, like, across at least, like,
that pass gave
two
me
zones.
Life.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. And you know what, Pavel Buchnevich, because just him, you know, the guy is living his life and playing hockey. And, I mean, I like the things that Kreider and Buchnevich try to do without a center. I think are kind of amusing, actually, because they imagine to get a credible amount done for two guys who just happen to have other random guy tagging along, as opposed to Mika Zibanejad. So, I mean, I do think there have been some fun things to watch, but I'm too worried about this team right now to completely enjoy them.
The Grabner roller coaster would be like the thrill ride of the century. I was so adamant last year that this was such a flash in the pan season from him.
Yeah, you were.
You don't have to.
All season long,
already,
son of a bitch.
I'm already admitting that I'm wrong, and you just come in swinging wild bows.
Let's trade him.
I was so sure that the Rangers missed out on an opportunity to trade a guy who just had so much trade value, both because of the contract that he had and the season that he had. And I really did not think there was enough. The guys just don't shoot 12 or 13 points above their shooting percentage. It just doesn't happen. And Grabner's doing it again. He has 15 goals and 2 assists, which is an amazing stat line. He's on pace for 39.5 goals. I mean, this is a guy who I think is
probably
actually
won't finish
increasing
with half a goal, though.
Well, no, he can't. Unless like the puck splits in half and then half goes in and half doesn't.
Mr. Fancy Numbers over there.
I hate both of you. My patience has run thin.
Joe's energy level is so much different than ours. It makes me really happy. I've been smiling the whole show. Joe's energy level is so different.
I'm sorry. I need to take a time out here. Beth, why would you ask him who? There's only three of us, and he wouldn't be talking about himself.
Beth is on her ninth
glass of wine.
I thought he
was making a comparison to that podcast he did with neither of us, his cheater podcast.
Oh, yeah, you do have a cheater podcast.
I did it for the people.
You're doing it for the people.
I suppose.
You're a filthy cheater. That's what you are. Anyway, I think Grabner actually may be increasing his trade value, if that's even possible. If the Rangers do get to a position this year where they don't feel confident in the fact that they're going to make the playoffs, or they don't feel confident in the fact that they're going to go deep in the playoffs, and let's be honest, neither of those two things are going to happen because Ragnar's, but Grabner could easily at this point net a first-round draft pick. I have no doubt in my mind that a team that's contending would want him. And really, at the deadline, his contract would be prorated to the point where it wouldn't even really be anything. So I'm just in awe. I really am, that he's been able to do this. And listen, his goals and his system fits really well with the Rangers. The way that Michael Grabner scores goals and empty net goals are obviously a big part of this. But the speed, the transition, playing with Zuccarello helps. He fits here. Would he fit everywhere? No. But I really don't think most general managers look at it that way. I think most general managers go to NHL.com/stats, look at the stats, and say, oh, Grabner's got 15 goals this year. Let's go get him. We need a goal scorer. And that's the way that it works. But I 100% agree that if you're looking for positives in December, which I don't think the month has given you all that many of them. Grabner is one of them. I think Buchnevich is one of them. I didn't get through the entire story for that he did in Sports Illustrated, but I absolutely have to, because it looks like it was amazing.
You do. It's lovely.
But there's all kind. And then I'm going to give one more positive for December. Mika Zibanejad not even playing, but forcing people to realize that he is a number one center, because I think you're seeing how much it hurts to not have him. So, and yeah. Hank has been not bad. So
Hank's been good.
Yeah.
That felt anticlimactic, Joe, the not bad. It does
not bad.
Seem like he needs to let a goal in to get his bearings. And that's freaking me out a little bit. It's almost like something needs to get scored for him to be like, okay, all right, that went there, and this is this, and this is that, and now I'm going to be Hank. Because there are just too many close games for that to be a, you know, acceptable strategy. But, yeah, I mean, what number is he now in the NHL for wins? Is it wins or saves?
Seventh or something?
That he just moved into, like, number 11 or something.
Yeah, he made his 20,000th save recently in the Ottawa game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Michael, what do you think was good?
My favorite dumb thing from December so far is the fact that the Rangers have the team penalty kill is... Hold on. Fill dead air while I check this. Go, Joe. Fill dead air. Go.
I had a hammer. I had a hammer in the mold.
Was the hot hand fallacy in December or no?
No, that was earlier.
I have the thing. God.
Okay.
All right, good.
The Rangers have a 94%.
Because I was going to sing folk songs.
The Rangers have a 94% penalty kill in December.
All right, then. That's good.
So there's a thing that's good. That's
is
all I
is
got.
Is that the
really.
Only thing? No, Beth
yeah,
and I gave multiple things. You gave one.
Well, you took all the good things.
Oh, we
son
took
of a
his
bitch.
Other thing.
What else is good?
You know what?
Yes,
I've learned to have more
good.
Patience as a father, so I'm just going to disappoint
yes,
you and shake my head at you. But I'm going
to
let you throw your temper tantrum. Do you?
The month of December. He do good.
Who did good?
Jesper.
Jesper Fast
oh, yeah,
do good.
Foss
he's got.
Fasta's doing that whole top six thing for sure.
Yeah, he's shooting 33% in December, but hey, yeah,
that's
so is Grabner.
let's give love to Buchnevich because he deserves it.
He's my sweet rutabaga.
How a player like him does not get more ice time it's so far beyond my realm of understanding. I really don't get it, because if you take a look at what's worked for the Rangers this year, the reality is Buchnevich has been one of the few things that's really worked consistently. And you're getting a coach who's giving him either equal or less ice time than a guy like Jimmy Vesey. I mean, granted, Zibanejad's injured and missed a bunch of games, but right now, 1-2, Zuccarello is 25 points, Buchnevich is 23 points. So he's second on the team in...
And Zuccarello has the highest ice
time,
right?
I'm sorry? And then, well, now I'm looking right now at ice time. Four forwards, second on the team in points. He is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th on the team in forwards. That's 7th out of 12th. Zuccarello, Zibanejad, Nash, Hayes, Miller, Kreider all have significantly more ice time than he does.
Yeah.
He's only played about 40 seconds more than Jesper Fast. That's a problem. No matter what metric you pull, points per game, points per 60, Buchnevich is up there. Goals, Buchnevich is second on the team behind Grabner with 11. Grabner has 15 goals. Assists, he's third on the team with 12. Points, he's second. I don't understand why he's not playing more, because he really
you
may
can't
be
understand
the
it because it doesn't make sense.
Forward that isn't Zibanejad right now. Beth, you sounded like you had a coherent point.
No, I mean, you can't make sense out of it because it doesn't make sense. He's got fantastic hockey sense. His passing, just the things he makes happen are amazing. He's gotten more and more and more. I mean, he's just better all the time. So much fun to watch and producing like a beast. And yet for some reason, I mean, sheltered is a nice word for what he's being. I don't know what AV's word in his head for why Buchnevich isn't out there more. And I thought it was kind of amazing that the Sports Illustrated article actually didn't mention Vigneault at all until the very end. And it was really more a comment on his like ability to understand the coaches. It wasn't really anything about his play, because I mean, AV does not play him, and he does not play, I mean, the weird thing, because one of the things that the article did focus on was the discrepancy between how Buchnevich was viewed and what his actual presence and skill on the ice accomplishes. But the weird thing is that one of the people perpetuating that is his own coach. You know, he talked about, what did he say? He said something amazing about how long he waited to be drafted. He said something like, you know, in his sort of garbled English, he was like very long sit, you know, like waited forever, because he went way later than he should have. But the weird thing is that even though he's on the top line now, technically, I mean, he doesn't get played that way. So I thought that was actually really interesting, because one, the other thing Buchnevich said in the interview was that he won't do TV interviews yet because he can't trust what he's going to say. And I mean, I just thought that, you know, this was in Sports Illustrated. I forget who did it, but it was obviously somebody experienced. And really the tone of the whole thing was the discrepancy between how he's viewed and what he can do. And I just thought it was so interesting that really the main perpetrator of that right now is his own coach.
Michael?
Beth said a lot of smart things. I don't have much to add. The problem I have with Buch not getting enough ice time is, you know, it's one of those things, Joe, like you said, that everything's there. The eye test is there. The points are there. The analytics are there. There's very few strikes against Buchnevich. He even is a very good, like, puck manager. He doesn't seem to turn the puck over a lot compared to a lot of the Rangers' other skilled forwards. And
yeah,
it just gets to this weird point where you just say, what's the rational explanation here? It's Vigneault probably just doesn't trust him yet, or more likely he trusts other players over him who are likely not as deserving. And that's, you know, it's, we talk a lot about stuff like that and it gets to be very frustrating, but when you have, you know, an example like Buchnevich in his play, and, you know, he's the most exciting young forward on the team and one of the best young forwards in the division. There's no reason why he shouldn't be getting a lot more ice time. It's not like he's a huge liability defensively from what we've seen. And the other part of that is just, we haven't got to see him used like as a guy who's trusted with a two-way game. Obviously he's not, you know, a penalty kill guy, but get him out there at even strength, for the love of God. All the numbers and all the eye tests, everything points to the fact that the Rangers are a better team when he's on the ice. And with no Zibanejad, you need all of that you can get.
He should never leave the ice. When he gets on the ice 3-on-3, which I think is a good indication good a player is at maybe their own personal generation of offense, because there's more room and it's really about puck possession. He is absolutely one of the best players that the Rangers have. And I tweeted the other day, I think it was against Dallas when he was in overtime, how does Buchnevich not get all the minutes? You need to nurture these types of players. You're already behind the eight ball because he really didn't play as much as he should have last year. He's clearly one of the best forwards on the team. Vigneault can push and push Miller and Hayes and, in, I guess, a lot of respects, Nash, but Nash at least gets a pass because of his defensive game. But there's no reason Buchnevich is not being double-shifted. Zibanejad and Buchnevich might be the two most dangerous players you have on this team. And the only reason Zuccarello's not up there is because he doesn't remember to shoot the puck enough. I just, for the love of me, I do not understand it, because you really are looking at a guy who can be an absolute elite talent in this league, somebody who made the KHL his bitch in a lot of respects when he was a younger guy, a teenager, man, early 20s. So that's against men, grown-ass men. So I don't get it. And I also don't understand how a guy can be second on the team in points and seventh on the team in terms of forwards in ice time. It just doesn't ring a bell there. It doesn't add up. Beth would call it fuzzy numbers. And Beth teaches.
Would I? Okay. Sure.
I don't know. You teach.
So, I don't teach anything that has to do with numbers.
What do you teach?
Writing.
Yeah, but writing, you
how
can
do you
write
not
numbers.
Know this? What's wrong with you, Joe?
No,
I do know this.
We don't
I'm
write
making,
any.
I'm her
I
go
forbid
through
numbers,
it.
Actually.
So Joe, you want to talk?
There are no numbers allowed.
No numbers
nope.
whatsoever. Not even the date.
Nope. Not even the date. Sorry. Oops. Sorry.
All right. You know how when you write out numbers, like for 12, you would write T-W-E-L-V-E.
Yeah.
Technically, AP style, what? You would not.
Just listen to me, son of a bitch.
Okay.
What is the first number that when you write out has a hyphen in it?
A hyphen?
Hyphen, Joe.
Like, he's saying like 30 21? Hyphen 5.
Beth wins.
I would think 21.
No, Beth has already won. You just stole her answer.
I was literally giving her an example of what it would be, and she took my answer.
No, Beth wins. That's
I win.
Clear.
I win most things.
Okay, well,
guys, are we not going to the playoffs?
Good question.
Why?
I have to deal with it.
Well, what are you dealing with? There's nothing to deal with yet.
I have to deal with the possibility that they're not even going to go to the playoffs, and it's hard because they should.
We would probably see relatively radical changes if that happened.
Not the ones we want, I bet.
I don't know. It wasn't a yawn. It was like a deep breath could have turned into a yawn, but I stifled it. I got 2 hours of sleep last night. I will not have this.
Oh, baby. Is she crying?
No, but she's like, she stays awake from like 10 to 1, and then she'll sleep from 1 to 3. She'll sleep from 3 to 5, and then she'll sleep from like 5 to 9, which is amazing. But I leave at 5:45 for work in the morning, so I don't get the benefit of that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about baby. I don't want to talk about Rangers.
So that's that. That's what that is.
So, much more hope for the baby.
The baby making the playoffs? Well, I'll tell you this.
About
when we bought Stanley, well, we didn't buy Stanley, but when we got Stanley, the Rangers went to the Stanley Cup final.
You stole Stanley?
So Brittany's grandparents bred the dogs. So technically, yes. So I was hoping Kaylin, a human, would push the Rangers over the edge, but that is not the. I think she's 3-2 in her lifetime, and has seen two of like the worst losses of the year for sure. And that Dallas game
they were
is
not
probably
good.
Up there. So who knows?
I mean, don't you really want to think this line of thinking out to its conclusion? I don't think you do. So let's just move past that.
What's the conclusion?
Well, I mean, if your baby is bad luck for the Rangers, I mean,
theoretically, I'm bad luck for the Rangers.
Obviously,
you're the Oracle
of
Calamity
now. So
you should just make another baby. Maybe that will be good luck.
The Oracle of Calamities has spoken.
Pretty baby, such a cute
baby.
Mike, you said
I was
going to
ask you. You have to get Kalen's first Rangers jersey, and it can't be a Lundqvist.
Can't be a Lundqvist. That's cheesy. Yes, a baby Buchnevich jersey would be the best thing in the whole world.
Ooh, baby Buchnevich. That's a good – I didn't even think of that. Baby Buchnevich.
Wow.
100%. Him or Zibanejad or Shattenkirk. One of the three.
Oh, Buchnevich. Please, baby Buchnevich. I'll get it myself, damn it, and send it to you.
That's great alliteration. I like that.
Baby Buchnevich.
Baby Buchnevich. Oh,
baby
my God, now I'm imagining a baby Rangers cartoon like Muppet Babies. Oh, it's weird. Somebody say something. Get this
Muppet
out of my head.
First of all, it's not our fault that you're putting this in your head and then announcing
know,
it to the world so that it's in our head.
Me.
Mike, you have a hypothetical child. What jersey are you getting him or her?
A blank jersey with the number 1 on it. I changed my answer already.
Okay.
Zouk, because he's tiny.
Zuccarello's not a bad one because she could probably fit into a game-worn jersey of his right now.
Yeah, seriously.
And Darnay's jersey would be too small for her, so because he's even smaller than
Zouk. No child of mine will wear David Darnay.
Nobody wants a Desjardins jersey.
So long as I draw breath.
I really don't like that guy.
Why? I don't understand the hate for Darnay. I don't think he's a bad player. I just think he's being asked to do a lot. Like
well,
if
I agree that he doesn't.
If I said to you, Beth, I need you to be a race car driver tomorrow. And you got behind the wheel of that car and you drove. I'm expecting you not to do well because you're just simply not a race car driver. But if I put you in that position,
as far as you
it's
know,
really my fault, not yours. What did you say, Mike?
Oh, no, that I fully admit. But I guess I don't know. Everything I'm blaming him for, you're completely right, is none of it is his fault. So, all right, just chalk off. More hate next to
screw that.
Yeah, Buchnevich Muppets Rangers.
Buchnevich Muppet Rangers. Yes.
Baby Buchnevich.
On a team that had a history with too many pass first guys, they signed Darnay as their answer for center depth. Darnay is one of those guys. He's on a breakaway. He's looking behind him for someone to drop pass to. Doesn't work. Hayes is pass first. Zuccarello's pass first.
The other night made me so
sad. But,
yeah, what the hell was Hayes doing? I don't like it.
But
I don't
what?
Know. He couldn't get the shot off, but it's his fault he couldn't get the shot off. He had time.
What
he
is happening right now?
We're ending things, okay?
The Rangers
I mean, you
had
didn't
really
think
very...
Hayes should have gotten the shot off?
For what?
On that breakaway? Breakaway he had.
I think that it is a cardinal sin to miss the net or not get a shot off on a breakaway.
Okay. So then you
cardinal
agree.
Sin. I do agree. Cardinal sin.
Can Kaylin read yet?
Yes. And she's writing her manifesto right now.
What are the things that she can do
Rangers?
Right now?
So, in really almost creepy, weird thing, like maybe 5 or 6 hours after she was born, she was asleep. Well, that's not the creepy part. And she was like, her eyes were moving. And I asked the nurse about it because, and I'm sure Beth can attest to this, as a first time parent.
Because you're a new parent,
literally,
everything scares the fuck out of you.
Literally everything is scary. Everything. I asked the doctor about the baby's breathing, like if she was breathing too heavy. Their hands and feet turn like black. There's a lot of shit that happens with a baby that you're just not prepared for, that you ask a lot of questions about.
Wait, black?
So, yeah, because they don't, the blood flow isn't
they
great.
They don't circulate so much.
So it, they, when their feet are cold or their hands are cold, they turn like a dark, dark purple. But regardless, so, they were like, oh, she's dreaming. And I looked at her and I said, how? Of what? What is she dreaming of? I don't understand.
Probably boobs.
Placenta.
If I was a baby, I'd be dreaming about boobs.
She doesn't
boobs
know
a
what
lot.
Boobs are. She has no clue.
That's,
she was,
that's not true at all.
Because babies apparently don't even see when they're first born. It's all blurry. So what are they even, what are they dreaming of? Shadows?
What do
no
babies dream of?
For me, but
a
that's,
memoir
that's,
by Joseph.
That's what it is.
Bambleshoots Fortunato.
Wombo.
Wombo.
Wombo. Yes, Wombo.
I can't believe
Mike.
You remember Wombo. That's amazing.
Wombo
what?
Was one of my favorite things you wrote. You had the greatest line of all time in that, which was me sharing all my secrets that you would never reveal, and the very next sentence was the secrets that Jill revealed to me. Okay, so
I'm not sure Beth has ever read that. That was before she joined us.
It was before, yeah, it was before Beth, before she was born. We were doing that stuff. And by born, I mean blogger born. Baby Buchnevich, blogger born. There's a lot of stuff going on here. If you had to pick. We did the first half of the year MVP. If you had to pick the like November, December MVP, it would be who?
Son of a bitch. My answer
is I know
is
who
saying,
my pick would be.
That's my answer. I just say, son of a bitch. That's my answer.
And that's your answer? I'll because you're weak, I'll go
I'm,
so that you,
you
have
know
time
what?
To
I
think
have
about
a pick.
This.
I have a real pick.
Okay.
Okay.
My pick is Zuccarello.
Interesting. You going to elaborate on that?
Sure. Zuccarello had something of a slow start, especially by his standards. And he's definitely, I think, kind of put it together lately. I just checked. Since November, he's leading the team in points. He also has, for those who care about these kind of things, the highest plus minus on the team. He had that, one of my favorite overtime goals I've ever seen, where he just waited.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, that goal is everything about Zuccarello. I loved it. With the Zibanejad out, his ice time, I think, has gone up. He's the most deployed Rangers forward. He's doing a little bit of everything. You know, 15 points in his last 18 games is really solid, all things considered, especially with a player like Zibanejad out of the lineup. And I know that, you know, they haven't played much together this season, but the line of Zuccarello, Grabner, and Miller generates a lot of scoring chances. And a lot of Grabner's success is tied directly to Zuccarello knowing how to get him the puck. And
I like that line, actually. I really do.
Yeah, that line is if nothing else, it's really freaking entertaining, that line. I really like watching it.
It's going to be up your butt the whole time, you know? Like, you can't. All of them are relentless.
My pick is
when you said
that,
I interrupted you.
I got weirded out.
No, I'm done talking. You're saying Grabner?
Yeah, I'm saying Grabner.
Golly.
Mike, you're this photo that has to go into the Patreon. This photo.
Of what?
He put it in the. Aren't you in the group chat, Beth, on Twitter? What if we were discussing pertinent things
doodle?
That we wanted to
yes.
talk about?
Okay. Yes, the doodle I can see. You said okay. photo, so I thought it was like a something separate.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm gonna say Grabner, if for no other reason because he's sort of been the consistent source of scoring that the Rangers have not had.
Yeah.
And have really needed. And again, we are talking about like a need MVP, if that even makes sense. That I think there are maybe better options, but Grabner has certainly fulfilled a need of a goal scorer. And listen, keep it coming because the Rangers need it. I don't want to say this, but I sort of have to, the lack of Nash goals. And again, this does not mean that he's not a good hockey player. It just means that he's still ridiculously unlucky. You need,
yeah.
Without Zibanejad, you don't have a ton of goal scorers. And since Pavel Buchnevich apparently isn't going to play all that much, you need to take him where you can get him. And if Grabner's given him to you, then take him. So, yeah, Grabner's my November-December MVP. Beth?
No, I was actually, I cannot tell a lie. I would say Grabner, too. Because he kind of has
so
to be. Again, and I think the fact that we're not saying it is part of our whole sort of avoidance of how well he's doing, as if he's not really a Ranger. Actually, let's stick there for a moment. I mean, do you feel like he's really a Ranger, or is he just someone who came in, scored a lot of goals, and we're waiting to export him as soon as possible? God, Mike.
I don't think there's any way. Yeah, that one got me too. It's the if none of you have ever seen it, it's the dog that gets the haircut that like hates the haircut and walks around on its hind legs. I think again, Grabner is he's a pick out of necessity, and not to say that he hasn't played well because he certainly has, but you're not. He's not being selected.
He's played so well. I mean, imagine him listening to this being like, what else could I do for you people?
No, you could add an assist to him, Michael.
Goals.
You know, you have only two assists on the year. You're very selfish. That was if he was listening.
No,
he's not.
That,
he
Michael.
Could be. He answered my question about Vienna that one time. So
he did. He
that
did.
Was a thing. Yeah.
We love you, Michael Grabner.
Yeah, you guys.
I
love any Ranger.
He's practically
who's
the godfather
this,
of your child now.
Yeah, Grabner is.
No, there's no way the.
Who
Rangers
is the godfather of your child? You're Catholic. You must have a godfather.
The godfather of my child is my brother-in-law.
Okay.
And the godmother is Brittany's twin sister.
I noticed that I didn't get any calls about that.
You were called, Michael, and you said, and I quote, "I am a heathen."
No, I didn't get any. I didn't get a call about that.
Yeah, you got the call. Michael, would you like to be the godfather?
Not, I don't want
of what?
Goddamn secondhand godfather status.
Stanley,
no, sir.
Stanley doesn't have a godfather yet. You want to be his godfather?
Yay, yes, do that.
Yeah.
And Beth can
be
the godmother.
Responsible for Stanley's religious education if anything happens to Joe and Brittany.
Yeah, I'll teach them all about the God of Borks and what being a good doggo is all about.
The God of Borks?
I really think that's all you can ask.
Yeah, Bork.
But can you explain this to me, please?
Yeah, Bork. Like dogs say Bork and Bark. You've never heard Bork?
They say Bark. They don't say Bork.
Some of them Bork.
It's a good thing I'm his godfather. Goddamn.
Yeah, yes, well. I mean, what would he know with Joe as his
or
dad?
Or should I say Bork damn? See what I did there, Joe? You son of a bitch.
I do see what you said. Yes. Anyway.
What do babies smell like, Joe?
They smell good.
Oh, babies smell so good.
It's like a.
Why?
It's
why
almost like a perfume.
Good,
it really is. Beth understands. It's weird to explain, but.
Their little heads smell so good.
Yes.
The little tiny heads.
Anywho.
Does Kaylin have any piercings yet?
She does not.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, I don't. I think she may. There has to be like a time, and Beth can at least give some advice on like doing the whole ear piercing thing when they're younger, so they don't remember it. But yeah.
Oh yeah. See, mine didn't get it until they were older. Mm. I think younger is probably smarter, although not too young, because earrings on little tiny babies freak me out.
Yeah,
it's kind of messed up.
But yeah, because they don't do them at the same time. And it's like, you know, both my kids, like one of the oldest one, like they did one of her ears. And of course, she took off to the other side of the mall and we couldn't get her back.
See?
And she's like, no, it's fine. I'm a pirate. And I'm like, you are not a pirate. Sit the hell down. And yeah, it's hard. It's a hard thing. I wasn't allowed. I was not allowed to get my ears pierced until I was 16. Because my mother thought that was a big... Irish girls didn't get their ears pierced back then.
Hmm.
What?
So literally me and like three other Irish Catholic girls went to get our ears pierced at the same time. Because getting your ears pierced early was like not something that the... Getting your ears pierced at all wasn't something that the Irish did back then. But our mothers agreed to let us do it when we were 16. My mother still has clip-on earrings.
Really?
Yep. You didn't get your ears pierced. That was like a weird thing to do.
It's interesting. Well then. Anywho, I have to
when
go to sleep.
Was that
better than the dust ruffle story?
Nothing could be worse than the dust ruffle story.
Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter.
Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, John Reppy, Johnny Allo, Alex Gardner, Eric Cohn, Alexander Ricard, Daniel DeGen, Matt Bader, George Littman, Guy from Montana, Andrew Grigo, Stink Fleeman, Dan Lynch, Mike Offit, Trevor Kempner, Dan Carosi, David L. Singer, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Scott Potash, Darwin Bushman, Alexander Jordan, Grumpy Smokey, Igor Zatlovsky, Thomas Osa, Chris Baker, and Michael Silvers. Thank you. You guys have answered the call to us begging for more money, so...
you guys are the best.
You guys are the best. You get more of this premium content because of
us.
Good. Yeah, so, so good. Twitter.com/BethMacklin, Twitter.com/JoeFortunatoBSB, Twitter.com/DigDeepBSB.
Godfather.
yeah. all right. We will see you next week where hopefully I will have more sleep.
You're
bye,
again, Joe.
Don't say that, Beth. Beth is a whale.
Beth is a whale.